Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Well, I want to remind you to listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go, or we go nowadays where you don't go. Just take us around your home. All right, so Mike Tamman, I'm going to join us in just a moment. Did you guys see this? Oh, he's ready with us? All right, good. So we'll go to Mike, and then we'll get into this a little bit later. This full NFL draft, if everyone was available on ESPN.com. I thought it was kind of interesting. All right, let's bring him in. Mike Tannenbaum. So what are the three questions we have to ask you? Are you safe? Are you healthy? Are you hydrated? Can you answer, confirm all three of those things are true, Mike?
Yeah, two out of three ain't bad. What's that old song?
You're not hydrated, are you?
Yeah, Rick, I need a chai latte here. So, you know, I'm safe, I'm healthy, my family's good, but I certainly could be more hydrated.
The only guest that can answer a question as he's drinking a scalding hot chai tea latte on the radio. Mike T, let's get to some serious business. In your opinion, and you've heard from a couple different players, Carlos Hyde being the most recent, do you think that Colin Kaepernick at least gets a workout with an NFL team before this upcoming season?
I would think so. And you know, with Colin Kaepernick, but I think there'll be a few free agent camps, just given the weird off season that we've had. And I'm sure Colin Kaepernick will have plenty of opportunities to work out again. And so I would think he should between now and training camp.
Mike, in taking a broader look at the protests that have been happening in the NFL since 2016, Adrian Peterson talked about how he anticipated a lot more players protesting this upcoming season. I know you had to deal with that in your time down in Miami. How would you handle the protests this time around in terms of what you would encourage or empower your players to do?
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of what the sentiment has been out there, which is I think as leaders, we got to be good listeners. And then well after this news cycle dies down, that there are sustainable programs that come out of this period of time. And hopefully, despite all these recent tragedies and the horrific events, that there are some more sustainable programs. And just by way of example, in talking with one team in particular, they were looking at, you know, do we shut down operations, for example, on election day and not only get everybody to vote, but do we help other people get to the ballot box on election day? And I think we're going to see more of those sort of initiatives and work collaboratively between. And we've already seen that with some of these marches, but it's players, it's coaches, it's people in the front office, and try to attack these problems as an organization.
Well, Mike, and I understand that, but I guess my question is with regard to the demonstrations that were happening during the national anthem. I mean, what would your take on that be in terms of the stance an organization that you would be a part of would want? Because I saw yesterday that Cliff Kingsbury said that the Arizona Cardinals would allow their players to protest in any format that they deem necessary, including kneeling during the national anthem this upcoming season. I guess my question is, do you see general managers around football taking a similar stance?
Yeah, I do. That would be my sense, is that there'll be players that kneel, and I think it will be acceptable, I would think. I saw Coach Kingsbury see that. And I believe that we'll see a lot of that. I'm not sure if that'll be every team, but my sense, Chris, is I think we'll see a lot of that.
All right, so let me continue this, and maybe you've kind of answered this and maybe you haven't, but we've seen a Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We've seen the players obviously come out in full force making a lot of statements. We've now seen the commissioner with a very strong statement on Friday night. At some point soon, do you think the owners will start to say something about the state of racism and about kneeling and the current state of the NFL?
Yeah, I do, and I think that's necessary. And in fairness, I think we've already seen that. You know, Jeff Lurie came out with, I thought, a really heartfelt and appropriate statement. I thought Mr. Khan, the owner of the Jaguars as well, and I think all the owners need to do that, and I think we'll see that over time. And I think the commissioner was good in terms of being the leader of the NFL, but I think it is absolutely appropriate and expected that at some point, you know, we'll hear from all 32 of them.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike T, you got facilities open up. You got guys who rehab. You got the coaches and everything else. Just today, and again, this is just forecasting down the road. Maybe I'll ask it a different way so you can actually answer. How many players report to training camp? How many preseason games do you think that NFL teams will need in order to be ready for a season? Could it be two? Like, how many would you imagine if something happened?
Yeah, I think it needs to be several. And just talking to some people around the league, what everyone's scared to death about is the soft tissue injuries and people not being in structure. And I think what we're going to see is a lot of learning from the NBA where some of these players are going to come back and not be in great condition. So I think it not only is it a number of games, Rick, and I do think we're going to see veteran players play a lot more in preseason games to get ready, but I know it's the soft tissue injuries because, as Chris Wells knows, you know, we live in a world of complete structure in the NFL, and to have players, not just young players, but, you know, all players not being in the structured environment, there's definitely a lot of concern of what kind of shape these players will be in when they come back.
Mr. T, the NFL released a memo a couple of days ago, and attached to it was a 9-page document outlining the club facility protocol for 2020. And within that, it classified the employees for each team under three tiers. And it says in there with tier one that teams are limited to a maximum of 60 players in one restricted area. How is that going to impact the club's operations in terms of getting the football team ready to play games?
Yeah, I think that's really, really hard. Most facilities, I shouldn't say that, some facilities, I would think, just aren't built that way. And again, as we know, you know, we go up to 90 players in the off season. So
yep.
I don't know how you do that. Maybe you stagger workouts. You know, is it offense, defense? Is it by, status and years in the league? But it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all approach just because, again, the physical structures, just I don't know if they could accommodate that sort of, you know, and I saw that memo, so I think that's certainly a work in progress. And one of the other things that came up that I think is part of this conversation is no scrimmages against other teams, and I know teams really like that. I had something on social media with that earlier because it's a way to get ready for the season, guys, in a very controlled environment, meaning we're going to have pass rush, you know, good against good. We're going to have red zone or whatever the competitive periods that coaches can script in a way that's competitive. And in theory, hopefully you're minimizing injuries. So not having those, I know, is a big disappointment around the league.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Article I was looking at yesterday was about Daniel Jones and the Giants and how much the thought is that Jason Garrett's going to help the second-year signal caller for the Giants. And I think it was Kerry Collins who came out and had a lot of statements about it. It's just going to help him tremendously. I don't know that people were kind of had differing views on whether Jason Garrett was going to be a tremendous help to the Giants and to Jones. Do you agree with what Kerry Collins had to say and that this is a tremendous get for the Giants for this quarterback?
I do. I mean, let's just go back a year ago. Dallas had the number one offense. Like we can't forget that. And we could sit here and opine about has Dallas underachieved and, you know, was Jason Garrett there too long? I think he's a really good coach and developed a really good quarterback in Dak Prescott. Obviously was there for a lot of the good Tony Romo years as well. So I don't see how that's I don't see the downside to that at all. So Daniel Jones has a lot of upside. He has to get better. Ball security isn't good enough. And I don't know, you know, in terms of if I'm Joe Judge and I looked at the landscape, I don't know what the better option was over Jason Garrett. So I think that's a really good hire for the Giants. And, you know, time will tell. But if Daniel Jones could be paired with Jason Garrett, that could really be foundational for the Giants, again, with ball security being the biggest area of concern going into it.
Mike, and here's the other question, too, as far as Jason Garrett is concerned. Of course, you hope he's going to help Daniel Jones as the offensive coordinator, but you being a GM and hiring a first-time coach in Joe Judge, would you push him towards maybe hiring someone like Jason Garrett because he was a former head coach to kind of, you know, answer any questions? He's been through it and assist not only Daniel Jones but also Joe Judge in this process?
100%. I would insist on at least two. I just see how valuable former head coaches are. And candidly, I was the assistant GM for 5 years when I was at the New York Jets before I became the GM. And it literally took me about 18 months for me to really feel comfortable in the job, just because until you sit in that seat, guys, you just don't know. Like, every day people want a raise. They don't like their title. They don't like the type of milk that's in their chai latte. You don't know what's going to come across your desk. But in all seriousness, like, there, you can't, and Joe Judge has no idea what he's getting into. Like, he thinks he does, but, you know, You have to call up an owner after a loss and explain things. Like, that takes up time. Like, it just takes a rhythm. You got to deal with the media. And to the extent that you can have a guy like Jason Garrett that, you know, let's face it, like, when you're the Dallas Cowboys, like, you know, when you blow your nose, that's on the crawl. And there's so much wisdom that he'll be able to learn from Jason Garrett. Again, I thought that was a really good hire for a number of reasons.
Mr. T, yesterday Dalvin Cook and his camp let it be known that he's not showing up to any club-related activities until he gets a new deal. And the source says that he's not ruling out the possibility of holding out for a contract extension. If it were you, would you pay Dalvin Cook a market value deal at the running back position?
Yeah, Chris, I would say I'm somewhat hypocritical on that. I would say, generally speaking, no. But the way they're set up offensively and the stats really bad, they're out. Kirk Cousins is dramatically better with play action. So to the extent that Christian McCaffrey got paid because he's so valuable at Carolina, I do think you can make a similar argument in terms of where, like, Dalvin Cook's impact is to Minnesota and how important he is to that offense and philosophically what Mike Zimmer believes in. So, you know, the big – look, we're going to see it time and time again, but, you know, the Rams moved on from Gurley. They drafted Cam Akers. We could talk about this quite a bit. You know, Devontae Freeman, David Johnson getting traded. We've seen a number of these running back deals not work out. But I just think Cook's too explosive and too big of an offense, part of the offense, you know, not to reward him.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. There's been, I was reading yesterday, something about training camps could be moved up and actually start a little bit earlier. Do you agree? You think we might get football in a little more than a month from now, you know, mid-July-ish?
Yeah, go back to Rick's earlier point. From this standpoint, Dave, I think that if they come back, it's going to be really for conditioning. And again, there's just a huge, huge concern. And again, like, let's just talk about, let's put this in context, guys. What happens if Daniel Jones comes back and pulls a hamstring? What happens if Dalvin Cook gets his contract resolved, but he's, you know, 8 pounds overweight? Those things are extremely consequential. And again, when you have a 16-game season and every game means so much, everyone is scared to death. Look, we're going to see injuries. We're going to talk about it all fall. We know that. But what you hate more than anything when you're with a team is, hey, could we have prevented that injury? So if they came back to, like, more of a conditioning sort of like 2 to 3 weeks just to get some foundation in, that makes a ton of sense to me.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, this may sound like a ridiculous question, but, I mean, as a former GM, I would imagine these are things you think about. So headed into this upcoming football season, I mean, we're hearing from Major League Baseball, there is real concern about a second wave of COVID-19. So in realizing that, you mentioned Daniel Jones, the quarterback position. Two-part question. How important is an NFL team's backup quarterback under these circumstances? And if you're a GM of these teams, do you find some way, and this may sound silly, to keep your quarterback separated just in case one does come down with COVID-19?
Yeah, I don't think that's a silly question at all. And I think to take it a step further, will we see, you know, teams have three quarterbacks? And what happens if Tom Brady tests positive on game day? There's a million questions. So I think those are all really fair and really reasonable. Will they not test on game day? Will they test only on Friday and give you 48 hours to cure your roster, quote unquote? Those are all fair questions. And I think where the NFL is incredibly lucky is they're going to sit back and watch all the learning. So I know with the NBA, they're going to be going to this, like, Olympic Village sort of environment where you're either in or out in Orlando. You know, players are talking about they want to bring in, you know, their own barbers, you know, all sorts of things, guys. And I think what we're going to see is a little bit of that. Obviously, you can't, you know, the season's, you hope is, what, 6+ months. You can't just simply put these quarterbacks in quarantine, but it's going to be a huge concern. And again, like, it's bad enough to lose a quarterback, but to lose them on game day where they've taken all the reps, I think that's a big issue. So I think maybe we'll see, again, testing on a Friday afternoon or something like that. But Rick, I think it's a very, very fair point.
Mr. T, we had Rich Cimini on yesterday, and he gave us a little bit of insight on the Jamal Adams situation. He said that the Jets really don't want to pay Adams until after the upcoming season, and we know that Jamal is intent on getting a new contract now. If you're Joe Douglas, how do you manage this situation with Jamal publicly?
Yeah, it's hard, Chris. I mean, this is where, you know, Joe Douglas goes from being a great scout and being on the road and being a great evaluator. You know, this is when, as a GM, this is when you get your uniform dirty, and this is hard. Like, this is the hard things. You know, unfortunately, I had to deal with it with Darrelle Revis. You got a great player who's outplayed his contract. He's not at a traditional position that you'd pay in safety. It's early. It's really hard. And, you know, whatever you do, there's consequences. If you don't pay him, you know, how big of a distraction is that going to be? And I know a lot of people out there will just pay him. He deserves it. He's a great player. He's a great person. He's a leader. And, you know, these are the guys you want to reward. But now if I'm Joe Douglas and I'm year one into my program and I do that, you know, what kind of precedent is that setting? You know, what do other players see? Like, okay, if I just, you know, just come out publicly and threaten, I'm going to get rewarded. So it's really hard to thread the needle. My best suggestions and my experience is you just can't over-communicate enough. And I would try to minimize that publicly, but I would certainly try to over-communicate with the player and the agent and make sure that the head coach, the owner, and myself are in the total lockstep in what we're doing.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on the show. Mike, potentially my last question. there's been some differing opinions depending on who you ask. In your own personal opinion, if Tua Tagovailoa was the quarterback you drafted, would you be hesitant at all to start him week 1 if he earns the job, or would you keep him on the bench for a little bit?
Yeah, I keep him on the bench for a while. I don't know why I wouldn't. You know, I want him to be my quarterback for the next 10 years. And again, I'm sure he's done a good job with rehab, but, you know, he's rehabbing on his own. He hasn't been in a program. And, you know, we spend tens of millions of dollars on, you know, we've already talked about that, the facility and your strength staff and your medical staff. Like, he's too important, too valuable. I want to make sure things are absolutely airtight. And here's the other thing, too. We got to remember, when we start judging him and Justin Herbert in particular, Ryan Fitzpatrick goes back 8-9 years with Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins, and Tyrod Taylor, the starting quarterback for the Chargers, goes back years and years ago with Anthony Lynn to the Buffalo Bills. So Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa have to learn a new language, and they are doing that virtually, and I'm sure while they're making progress, those veteran quarterbacks are materially ahead of both of those rookie quarterbacks.
Mike, we appreciate it. As always, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay hydrated.
Well, the hydration part, Rick, you know, I'm just saying for a friend here, you know, we do have Starbucks cards in Florida. They work. We have a Starbucks right down the street. So, you know,
Like, ideally, what are you looking for? Like, you want a home delivery before you do your spot with us every Tuesday?
You know, Coach Parcells would say, Dave, we go by what we see. Maybe my expectations for Rick are higher than those of himself.
I'll tell you right now. I would be willing, just to get out of the house, period. I would jump in the car, drive all the way to Florida, and deliver you a Starbucks.
Oh, that's great.
Socially distanced, of course, when he got to you dropping off.
With a mask on.
Yeah,
exactly right, and gloves.
All right, Mike, good stuff, man. Stay safe, stay healthy, and of course, stay hydrated. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys, thanks.
Good stuff. He's excellent. Have you turned your man cave into your home office? Well, here's your chance to upgrade your work-at-home experience with an Amazon Echo. We'll give you 3 chances a day through Thursday to win a smart speaker for your home office. To enter, email a photo of your work-from-home setup to 98.7 FM at ESPN.com with the subject line Echo, E-C-H-O, and include your name and phone number. Again, that's 98.7 FM at ESPN.com. To listen on your smart speakers, just say play 98.7 ESPN. All right, we're ready with CMT today?
We're ready. I'm going to redeem myself. This one's
I got to be honest, and I'm always honest with you. If nothing else, got multiple texts, one from a high-ranking person at the station that thought you really did not do a very good job yesterday with CMT.
You said more sports. Golf will be live this week. Golf is a sport, last time I checked. Just because you don't watch golf or know anything about golf.
I didn't enjoy it, but it wasn't about me. I'm just telling you that the feedback was not great on yesterday's CMT.
Well, here's my feedback. I can cancel the segment today if you'd like.
Well, here we go.
So all it needs is extra work for me.
You can't take constructive criticism is what you're saying.
Well, but it's not constructive. The reason you didn't like it because you don't like golf. It's not because it was poorly done.
But me not liking it is one thing. You knew I wasn't going to like it. The masses did not enjoy it.
But this is your fault. I would just
it's
do
my fault
because I would come up with fun CMTs or football CMTs. Chris, I mean, back me up. You asked for more sports.
Dave did ask for more sports. And for the record, Rico, I enjoyed yesterday's CMT.
Thank you. And I didn't say, okay, of these three, who's most likely to win? I said majors. I said pick a golfer that you feel comfortable win a major. And I didn't give you in the weeds names. I gave you the biggest names.
All right. I'm not going to give feedback anymore because obviously it's not well received.
Well, let's talk constructive. How about I'll do a rugby CMT tomorrow. I'll see how you like that.
I would love that. I would love that.
A Bundesliga CMT.
Yes. Yeah. Do it.
Some KBO. We'll break down the KBO.
Do an MLS.
So disrespectful to golf. We're going to get live golf this week with loaded
to make
field.
You great, and you don't want any part of it. So do whatever you want.
I want to be great, but I want to also open your eyes up to more sports because you don't play. I mean, you have no interest in golf. It's not my problem. That's a you
Dave,
problem.
Dave, why are you being so nasty about this?
I don't think I'm being nasty. I was trying to be honest.
Because he teams up with Winthrop, and Winthrop doesn't like golf either, and they
it
come at
Winthrop. How dare you? It was not Winthrop.
And I who think was it? Tell me. Tell me a name. Tell me a
I'm
name.
I'm not telling you a name, but I will tell you this. It's someone that you really like. Like, if you knew who it was, you would be upset.
Was it Hurley?
I'm not telling you a name.
Because I'm close to Hurley. I'll drive right to Hurley's and socially distance.
Here's
what the text said. That was awful. Not you. The golf talk. Awful.
No, I'm not doing CMT today. That's it. That's not
Stop.
Constructive.
Stop.
That's mean. That's not. Was that constructive, Chris? If a coach said you were awful, is that constructive?
No. No, not at all. Not even a little bit.
That's mean.
All right. You know, maybe this person is trying to be mean to facilitate your greatness.
Whoever this person is, just so they know whoever texts you, I don't like them at the moment.
Okay.
I'm disgusted by them.
You really like this person.
Well, off the air, you tell me. I'm going to find that chipmunk. I'm going to catch that chipmunk, and I'm going to drop him off at this person's house.
There you go.
All right, a better version of CMT next.
And I ate asparagus last night, and I'm going to sprinkle some asparagus pee around the neighborhood.
Vinny Jones tweets in, they're jumping you right now. They just need someone to blame for that brutal segment yesterday. I think you'll do better today. I have nothing but confidence in you, Rick. And let's go. A little theme music for the segment. Here we go.
All right, here we go, fellas. It is Tuesday. We're going to do our CMT, Cuddle, Marry, Trash for Tuesday. I shouldn't be doing this because Dave hurt my feelings. Whoever texted Dave hurt my feelings. But because I'm a good team player, I'm going to appeal to Dave, not only his love of football, but also his love of gambling.
Oh, boy.
The degen in Dave Rothenberg.
No, boy.
So here is the goal of today's CMT. I'm going to give you three NFL teams. You're going to cuddle, marry, trash, okay, according to which team you feel is most likely to actually go over their win total.
Now, can I interrupt you for a moment here?
Yes.
I was soured on yesterday, and I thought when the text came in, I looked at it, and I thought, you know what, this is accurate. The tweet from Vinny Jones comes in accurate. You've already won me over today that is going to be a complete 180, and I think everyone's going to love today's CMT.
Oh, this is NFL.
Right.
This is
NFL.
Vegas.
It's gambling. I mean, what more could people want?
Okay, most likely. So you're going to marry the team that you think is most likely to go over their win total for this season. So we'll start with Jacksonville. Their over-under is 5, so they'd have to win 6 to go over.
Okay.
Washington, the Redskins, also 5, and the Cincinnati Bengals, 5.5. Which team most likely to go over?
Chris, you want to start out?
No, I'll give you the honors, Dave, because he's catering to you.
All right. I'm going to trash the Jaguars. I think they're going to be bad. I think they want to be bad, and I think they will be bad. I think that's going to be a three-win football team, and I feel confident in that. I'll trash the Jaguars. I'm going to cuddle the Bengals.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Ooh, I like what they've done. I really like Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be an excellent quarterback. But first-year quarterback makes you a little concerned, especially in this day and age of where we are. So I will cuddle into the Bengals. And as difficult as it may be, I'll marry Washington.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
A coach that gives them relevance, a quarterback in year 2, the best player on defense in this entire draft adds to a defense that was already decent last year. So I'll marry Washington.
Yeah, I'm going to start out with the low-hanging fruit, trashing the Jacksonville Jaguars. They lost a lot of leadership this offseason. Calais Campbell is now in Baltimore. That team is going backwards. Nick Foles is in Chicago. So I don't know what Gardner Minshew is or isn't. I don't have a lot of faith in that program, and it feels like they're actively trying to go after Trevor Lawrence. So I'll trash them. I am going to do the same thing that Dave Rothenberg did. I'm going to marry the Washington Redskins. I think adding Ron Rivera brings some stability to that organization. And I think Dwayne Haskins takes a big jump from year one to year two. And I will cuddle the Bengals. I love Joe Burrow. I don't love the situation that he's going into. It's still the Bengals. They're still slightly dysfunctional. So I'll cuddle them.
Bombs and fallacious seeds.
Yeah, and since he's Division Two, by the way. All right, let's go to teams that have over-unders for 7.5. Going to have to win 8 games to go over. I'm going to give you
these all at 7.5.
All at 7.5.
Okay.
Yep. Very respectable 7.5. You'd know nothing about 7.5. Here we go. I'm going to give you the Mitch Trubisky Chicago Bears, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Houston Texans.
Houston, 7.5, huh?
Wow.
All right, Chris, you got it with this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with this one. I am going to marry the Texans.
If it was socially acceptable,
at 7.5. They've won the division 4 out of the last 5 years, and I know we don't love Bill O'Brien, the general manager, but Bill O'Brien, the coach, is not bad. And so for that reason, I think that they're going to go over that. They're going to compete for the division title. They're over 7.5. I'm going to cuddle the Chicago Bears going over 7.5 just because I don't like the option of the Falcons going over 7.5 with their division. So I just think that, you know, the juggernauts in the NFC North are a lot less daunting than the juggernauts in the NFC South. So for that reason, I'll go with the Bears and cuddle them, and I'll trash the Falcons.
Look at this garbage!
All right, okay, now Dave? I do look at Houston. Yeah, I'm at a little coughing fit, but I'm okay. I don't have a mute button here. I look at Houston in that loaded AFC, and my thought is that I'm gonna marry them. They're gonna go over 7.5. I mean, you're telling me that with that level of quarterback, that they can't be an 8-win football team? No, I will absolutely marry
them. If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I'm gonna cuddle Atlanta. I know the division is tough. I know the division is tough, but they played much better second half of the season last year, and they had all sorts of injuries. So I will cuddle Atlanta, and I don't want any part of Chicago.
Look at this garbage!
You don't have a quarterback that I trust over the long term. I don't know who they're going to start to begin this season. I could see this spiraling out of control. So I will say, trash the Chicago Bears.
All right, here we go. Battle of 9.5 wins. 9.5. I'm going to give you Philly.
Big number.
I'm going to give you Dallas. And I'm going to give you Tampa Bay.
All right, so Dallas, Philly, Tampa. All right. I'm going to jump right in. I'm going to marry Tampa.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that team. I think that's a good, solid 10-win team. Offensively, I mean, with Brady, with the receivers, with the multiple tight ends, with Gronk coming back, with O.J. Howard, I mean, it's concerning the talent they have there offensively. And they're not a bad defense as well. So I'll marry Tampa. This comes as no surprise. I'm going to cuddle into Philadelphia. I'm going to welcome Philly close into the chest and wouldn't marry them. Wouldn't trash them. So I will cuddle Philadelphia.
Bombs and fallacious seeds.
You know, last season, when push came to shove, they were able to beat Dallas, where Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, you know, did not play well in that game in Philadelphia. So I'll cuddle into Philadelphia. And I will trash the Dallas Cowboys, because I'm just not a believer. I'm not. I don't think that's
man.
A team that's going to win
over
9.5 games.
Hey.
I'll kick them to the curb. You're Dallas Cowboys.
Interesting. Okay.
Such a troll.
Interesting. Okay. I know this is going to sound a little bit strange, but I am, I'm going to marry the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I just think with Tom Brady, that brings in another air of, not only an air of credibility at the quarterback position, but you also set a standard of excellence that they just haven't had in Tampa for a really long time. And I think with the talent that they've already got on that team, when you introduce that, that leads to a double-digit win season. So I'm going to marry Tampa. I'm going to cuddle the Dallas Cowboys.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I mean, as far as the teams go, I just think that the Dallas Cowboys, their biggest impediment last year was their head coach. I just don't think that Jason Garrett is a quality head coach in this league. I think Mike McCarthy has proven that he is. He's got a Super Bowl on his resume. So I think with the upgrade in coach and then the weapons that they continue to place around Dak Prescott and that revamped defense, I just feel like the Dallas Cowboys realize the expectations that we had for them last year in 2020. So I'm going to cuddle them. And I'm going to trash the Philadelphia Eagles.
Firmly.
Just because I don't have a lot of confidence that their quarterback is going to be able to stay healthy all 16.
All right, we got the battle of the big boys. This could be controversial. This could be controversial. I'm going to give you Kansas City at 11.5, the Baltimore Ravens at 11, and the San Francisco Jimmy Garoppolo's at 10.5. Whew.
All right, Chris, I think it's your turn if you'd like to start here.
All right. I am going to roll with I'm going to marry Baltimore going over 11.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I mean, just based on that division, I feel like that's the team that has the least amount of questions, especially at the quarterback position. So I'm going to marry Baltimore going over 11 wins. I am going to cuddle right up to Kansas City going over 11.5 because they have the best player in football. In Pat Mahomes, and they just continue to find ways to solidify the roster around him. Adding Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the end of the first round, I thought was a huge move. Andy Reid compared him to Brian Westbrook. If you give Pat Mahomes a Brian Westbrook-esque type of weapon in the backfield, there's no telling what this offense could evolve into. And then I am going to trash the San Francisco 49ers at 10.5. I think they have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. I think the Seattle Seahawks win the NFC West.
All right. I feel like you could give Pat Mahomes Russell Westbrook, and he could make it work.
He probably could. He can throw with either hand. I'm going to marry Baltimore. I'm going to agree with Chris.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I mean, that's a team that hasn't had postseason success, but they've had tremendous regular season success. So I will marry Baltimore. Now I'm torn, and I'm torn because of your number. Because Kansas City's at 11.5. It's a huge number. And he was hurt last year. But they're so good. I'll cuddle Kansas City.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I figured that they're going to be a 12-win team or better. And he's so good. I worry about that Super Bowl hangover a little bit, though. And just because that division, I mean, Arizona's going to be better. Seattle's a really, really competitive team. So the Rams, I don't think, are a bad team either. I think that's at least a 500 football team. I will trash San Francisco, but I don't feel...
Look at this garbage!
I don't feel all that confident in that one.
Yeah, the other thing, too, to take into account, remember, only the number one seed gets the bye.
Right.
So it's
right,
going to be important.
We got the seven teams from each conference going to the postseason now.
Yes, sir. And here we go. The final one for today's CMT. We're going to include the locals. Got to win 7 games to hit the over. Seven. Got Jets 6.5. Giants 6. And the team, for some reason, that scares the hell out of me, and just because it would be embarrassing, the Miami Dolphins at 6.
All right, so Dolphins are at 6, which means they'd also have to win 7, right?
Yeah, that's why they're all in the same category.
Right. Have to win 7. I'm going to trash the Dolphins.
Look at this garbage!
I mean, listen, they're heading in the right direction. I don't know how much Tua is going to play. Fitzpatrick was good last year. Is he going to give you that again? They'll be a better team, but I don't know that they get to 7. I'm going to cuddle the Giants.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I don't feel overly confident that they get to 7 either. Schedule's not great. Better offense. Defense still has major question marks. If the Giants got to 7 wins, I think as a Giants fan, you'd be pretty pleased. And I'm going to marry the Jets.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Time out, time out. Ray, make sure you don't play the clip. I'm going to need Dave to say this so we can. Okay, would you like to do with the Jets, please?
Yeah, I'll, for this segment specifically, I'll marry the Jets.
Yes.
You can
if
cut that up.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I mean, if the Jets can't win seven games, Adam Gase is going to be gone and they're going to start from scratch yet again. It's year three for Sam Darnold. They have to be able to get to seven wins. If the Jets don't get to seven, you're going to have a completely new coaching staff next season. I'll marry the Jets. Great. Of course, that he turns around quickly. I say, yes. play the start of the segment. He doesn't have the music anywhere ready to go.
Yes.
But I'll marry the Jets.
All right. I'm going to start out this segment with a surprise. I am going to marry the Miami Dolphins.
Wow. If it was socially acceptable,
going over six wins. Listen, they had five wins last year when everybody thought they were tanking for Tua. They still end up getting Tua Tagovailoa. I think we're seeing him at some point this season. But beyond that, culture matters, and it's clear to me that Brian Flores has built the right culture down in Miami, and now they've spent the offseason adding talent through the draft and free agency. I think the Dolphins go over six wins, so I'm going to marry them. I am going to cuddle up to the New York Football Giants. Even though I don't know what the culture will be in that building, I believe in the talent that they've got on the offensive side of the ball. If they solidify that offensive line like we all think they have, I think that Daniel Jones will take off in his second year in the NFL, and I think that propels the Giants to being better than a six-win team. So I'll cuddle that, and I am going to trash the New York Jets at 6.5.
Firmly garbage.
I don't have any confidence in Adam Gase as the coach, and I don't know if they've done enough to improve the roster around Sam Darnold. We'll see what that revamped offensive line looks like, but I don't know. I don't see a lot of skill position talent for Sam to work with. And when you have the best player on the defensive side of the ball being disgruntled because he's not getting a new contract, I just feel like the Jets are a house of cards in 2020. So I'm going to trash them.
So beautiful. Disrespectful. So disrespectful.
But you feel,
there you go, boys.
You feel the exact same way, Ricky. I don't know why you're mad at me. You feel that way.
Allegedly, I feel that way. Allegedly. No one knows that. And there you go, boys. That is a Tuesday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
Oh, and a much better version of Knobs, of CMT than you gave
that it. That was awesome. That was awesome.
A beautiful. I mean, you incorporated the gambling world. You incorporated the NFL. I mean, that was very well done.
I appreciate that. Thank you, David.
And just to reinforce how good it was, the same person sent me a text. Now, this is what we're talking about, it says.
I still want to know who that person is.
I'll marry the Jets.
Oh, yes. That's forever.
You can have it. You guys can play whatever you want.
Forever.
It was for a segment.
No one knows that.
Oh, I know.
You don't hear that clip and say segment. It doesn't matter what you know. That's what I can prove. Play it again, Santy.
He's not listening to you.
I'll marry the Jets.
See? He wasn't even listening.
So good. So good. That's so good.
All right. You can have that. When your team wins four games and you're looking for a new head coach, Jamal Adams is forcing his way out of New York, then we'll see who has the last laugh.
There was something said on PFT this morning about the Jets that does concern me a little bit.
Why don't we tease it? And you can bring that up next on 98.7 ESPN. Everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. All right. What did you see that worried you about the Jets on PFT this morning?
Well, what worried me is, I mean, they were bringing up quarterback rankings. And Chris Sims was doing his quarterback rankings, and he had Sam Darnold at 23, and he had Daniel Jones at 22. And Daniel Jones had a great, great rookie season. We're in year three for Sam Darnold, but the point that he brought up, which I think is something that scares me, is offensive line will be better, not going to be great, but more importantly, and this speaks to Chris's point where he doesn't trust Adam Gase, is that you really have no dynamic playmakers on your team. And you're in a division where, I mean, you guys tell me, is there a division that has better secondaries than the AFC East at the moment?
Mm-mm.
So if you don't trust Adam Gase, one of Chris Sims' biggest things was, I don't know if Adam Gase, like his offense is fine, but it's he's not Kyle Shanahan. Like, he's going to have to go out of his way to be more creative and scheme wide receivers open, because you have no one on the outside that defenses are concerned about.
But that's also got to be a part that's a little bit concerning, right? His offense is fine. I mean, you hired him to be an offensive guru and to develop Sam Darnold so he realizes his full potential. If his offense is just all right, then why the hell is Adam Gase continuing to be the Jets head coach?
Well, you just said you trashed him and you don't think that he's going to be there for long.
Well, I don't, but I'm just saying, just going through the thought process, the rationale that the front office has and the ownership has. I mean, if Adam Gase, his offense can't do a lot better than what they were last year, then I don't understand why he's your head coach. You brought him here specifically for the offense. Just like you bought Greg Williams in for the defense. And Greg Williams did his job. The defense was a top 10 group without a number one corner or a dominant edge pass rusher. He did it with smoke and mirrors. Congratulations to him. Where's Adam Gase's return on investment?
Wasn't there. Wasn't there. Team did not do well last year.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.